We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh program brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God. And it is our joy to spend the next half hour with you today as we are talking about the peace of God. We're actually going through Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and we are parking at peace because there are so many people who do not have, are not walking in the fullness of the manifestation of peace that God has provided for us. So we're going through Isaiah right now with this. We got a few passages that we're going to be discussing, and then we'll eventually end up in the New Testament, and that will be very helpful as well. There are a lot of interesting passages about that. So do you have too much peace, or do you need more? That's the question, and I believe that more people are walking in less of the peace of God than what God has provided for us. So we're going to be in Isaiah, the 55th chapter right now, Isaiah 55. And this is a great chapter, so I'm just going to read a portion of it before we discuss this pertinent passage down in verse number 12. Verse number 8 of Isaiah 55 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So here just a couple of relevant thoughts to set us up today. We need to think the way that God thinks, not try and contort God's thought processes into our thoughts. Paul said in the New Testament, "When I was a child, I thought like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And a lot of modern America right now, their thought processes are not something that we want to replicate. And so that's what we do, is we try and fulfill that instruction that God gave us to renew our minds, to make sure that we think like God thinks. And that can be very challenging. But I tell you that in my life, there have been times when I have had to literally ask myself this question: how would my wife think about this situation? If I was looking for something that my wife had last been in control of, it was, okay, if I were my wife, how would I think about this situation? The solution was not in trying to get my wife to think like I would think about the situation. The opportunity was, while she was at work, for me to be able to find what I was looking for, and that involved thinking differently than I was accustomed to. Most of us do not like to think that there's anything wrong with our thought process. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and there is nothing defective about the way that God thinks. So the challenge is for us to think differently, to think like God thinks, to think the way that Jesus thinks. And that is a little humbling. It is also challenging because we've got to have a complete overhaul at that point in time. I don't know if you have ever been in a circle, in a loop, if you will. I was at a restaurant the other day, and they were playing music, and it sounded like the song that they were playing sounded like an old record that it gets stuck, and it goes that, and it just gets trapped in that same revolution around, that every time it came around, there would be a scratch and it would take it right back to where it was before. That's what happens with our carnal thinking. But when we start thinking the way that God thinks, all of a sudden things begin to change. The children of Israel thought of themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight, and then they projected their thoughts onto the Philistines, thinking the Philistines thought of them the same way, but the people of Jericho, the giants of the land, thought of them the same way that they were thinking about them. Well, what if you and I started thinking of ourselves the way that God thinks about us, instead of trying to project the way that other people have thought about us, spoken about us? I am really, really striving to help people to understand the goodness, the greatness, the holiness, the majesty, the benevolence of God, the omnipotence of God. It will change the way that you think, and if it changes the way that you think, it will change the way that you act. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Okay, and it goes on, and there is a caveat there. There is a qualifier, and it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So just in case you thought that you were going to be able to convince God to start thinking like you, he says, you're not in the same league. It's not even close. I like to tell people that the devil versus God is not a close contest. I know that the devil would like you to think that he is similar in power and might to God, but the reality is all it takes is a word from God's mouth. And all of us could use an elevation in our thought life, every single one of us. I challenge you to allow God to change the way that you think. And then he goes on in verse number 11, he talks about the word, that when the word goes forth from the mouth of God, that it does not return to him void. It does not return to him without that word striking its mark. When I'm preaching at Merit Assembly of God or wherever I may be preaching, and I'm talking about the Word of God, I know this, that if God has laid this Word on my heart, it has a target. I may not know what that target is, but the Holy Spirit will take that Word and it will strike people's hearts and people's lives, and it will bring about transformation. God's word is never offline. It never needs a course adjustment. It never needs an attitude adjustment. God's word always strikes its mark. It will accomplish what pleases God, and it will prosper in the thing for which he sent it. How would you like for God to speak forth on your behalf so that it prospers in whatever it sent? So that ought to help us to maybe have a different frame of mind when we come into church, and that is, today I'm going to hear a word that it is going to prosper. God's word is going to prosper if I will receive it. Now, Matthew chapter 4 says that we are the ones that create the conditions of our heart that is going to determine the fruitfulness of that word, whether it's going to immediately be consumed because our hearts are hard, if it's going to pop up pretty quickly because we're kind of shallow, and then when difficulties come, that just disappears. Or if we're going to allow things to choke out the word of God, or if we're going to make our hearts receptive to the word of God, and then it's going to produce 30, 60, or 100 fold. Make sure that you allow room in your heart for the word of God, not just when it comes time for church or Sunday school or youth service or things like that, but when the word of God is there, and it might be during your devotions that God has a word for you that will just be powerful. And so I encourage you to take advantage of that. Now, verse number 12 begins to describe the purpose of these things. If we allow God to take us on the journey where our thoughts are maturing and becoming more Christ-like, and our lifestyle is becoming more Christ-like, and God's word is having impact in our life, it says this: you shall go out with joy. How many messages have you and I heard on the Great Commission that we are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and making disciples of all nations? How many times have we talked about that? I know I got that all out of order. But how many times have we heard that message? We have the responsibility, the privilege, to go out and represent Jesus. I mean, lots and lots. So let me tell you what it says again. Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the first word of that command is given. It is given in response to the fact that all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. So Jesus has the authority to instruct, to command, to require that we go. But just as God looks for a cheerful giver, he is also looking for people who will go at his command and do his bidding with joy. Now, we've already talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. We're talking about right now the fruit of the Spirit is peace. But you and I are supposed to go forth under God's command, under the authority of his word, and we're supposed to be going out with joy. So not too long ago, someone posted a thing on a minister's website that or Facebook page that I follow, and it showed a picture of a person, and it said year one in the ministry, and I mean they are looking bright eyed and all smiles, and then it said and after 20 years in the ministry and looked like just a completely and totally different person. It was the same actor, two different roles, but it looked like, what in the world has happened to me? Well, I want you to know that you're supposed to go out on day one, and you're supposed to go out on day 100 and day 1,000 and day 10,000 and day 20,000. You're supposed to go out every one of those days with joy. Jeremiah 31 describes that people will be streaming to the goodness of God. The goodness of God is one of the ways that God draws people to himself. He draws them with his love. God is so easily distinguished above everything else that the world has to offer in the quality of his love and the nature of his goodness, that people, hurting people, broken people, wounded people, addicted people, that they should be drawn to the goodness of God. Go out into the community with the goodness of God dwelling richly inside of each and every one of us. And he said, and you will be led out with peace. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is referred to as the shepherd, the great shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And yet, whenever we start thinking about the Great Commission, when we start thinking about going, that many times we get the mindset that we're going out there all by ourselves, or maybe if he sent us out in pairs, that there's somebody else. But we forget that Jesus is not a cattleman. He is a shepherd. And they approach their jobs in two distinct manners. Cattle have to be motivated from behind. They have to be herded in the right direction, and that comes from having no other options behind them. And that's why you see horses or cowboys, if you ever watch old movies, and they're constantly going from one end to the other, and they're trying to chase strays back towards the flock, because they're just going, but they don't really know where they're going. They just know that they're being driven from the place that they were at before. Shepherds, on the other hand, are not behind, but they are in front of. And the sheep follow them because they know the shepherd, they recognize his voice. They don't necessarily remember where they've come from in the past. There's evidence that they have some pretty short memories, but shepherds do know where they're going, or sheep know where they're going. They're going where the shepherd goes. And so when we think of this being led forth with peace, we are led forth with the peace that comes from knowing that we're not alone, and that Jesus is leading us, and he knows the way. You shall be led forth with peace, and that ought to manifest itself with singing and clapping and rejoicing and transformation of a painful, barren landscape into a productive place of beauty. And it will be a place that will be gloriously magnifying to the name of the Lord. And so that's Isaiah chapter 55. And yet, knowing that truth, how many times do we fight against the leadership of God? How many times do we say, wait a minute, I am not going any place until I know exactly where we're going, how we're going, how long it's going to take to get there? I mean, you think about all those kids, you know, and I did it when I was a kid, my kid. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And in doing that, we miss many times the joy of the journey. I want to encourage you to allow God to lead you and experience the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace beyond anything this world has to offer. Peace does not come from an explanation. Peace comes from a relationship with your shepherd. So let's move on to the next passage if we can. We'll turn over to Isaiah, the 57th chapter, Isaiah chapter 57. And verse number 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Okay? So, where we're talking about being able to be led forth with peace, now we're here in Isaiah chapter 57, and verse number 19, God says, I create the peace. I create the fruit of the easy for me to talk this morning. I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him who is far off, and peace to him who is near. That means that you and I, that when God speaks to us, there is peace. And he speaks in such a manner that if you are right, if you're standing right next to him, you hear him with perfect clarity. And yet he also speaks to those who are far off. Those who look like they are never going to give their heart to Jesus. And yet God's hand not only is able to reach them, his voice is able to reach them in a transformative manner so that they cease running from him and they turn to him. Now, it says this, and I will heal him. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Healing is not what God does. Healer is who he is. He makes things that never were. He creates in them a situation that they've never experienced before. You and I are called new creations in Christ. And that word, new creation, it means a new species of being that has never existed before. A born-again believer is something that this world is really not accustomed to. They're accustomed to a lot of the fallings and the shortcomings and the frailties of our humanity. But it's time that they really began to see that God is making us whole, and he does that by speaking peace to us. Now, most of the time, the person who is crying peace, peace is kind of like it was when I was a kid and you were in one of those contests with your friend and that you were seeing who could handle the most pain, and then the one that said uncle, that was the one who was receiving the pain. They had lost the grip contest. They had lost the handshake to see who was going to take the other one to the knees. Most of the time, the people who are asking for peace are the weaker of the two parties. But God is the one that is crying out for peace to us. He's looking to manifest that peace in our life. And folks, I want you to know something. It's not because he's losing the fight. It's because he wants to win it. At General Council in August, there was a person that said, if you are ever in an argument with God and you win the argument, you lose. But if you lose the argument, you win. And so I want to encourage you today to allow the word of God, not to fight against the word of God. Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you kicking against the things that I'm trying to use to prod you into a peaceful relationship with me? Do you realize that Paul had such a tremendous peace about him that he wasn't even concerned about his own life? The ship that he's imprisoned on is going through a storm like they'd never gone through before, and everybody has given up hope. Everybody's given up hope. And one night Paul has an encounter with an angel, and he says, "Good news, everybody. We're going to live. We're going to live because God's told me that I've got a job to do in Rome, and I'm going to get to that job, and I'm going to do it." Now, that's the type of peace that God can give us. But there is also a warning in Isaiah chapter 57, and that is this. There is a distinction between the peace of the righteous and the lack of peace in the life of the wicked. You would hear people say, if I can put it this way, they will say intellectually dishonest things like this. There is no hell. Everybody is going to go to heaven. Well, and then you start naming off people who've done atrocious things throughout the history of humanity. Well, is that person going? Well, no, that person's not going. Okay, well, what about this person over here? Well, no, that person there's not going either. Well, where are they going? And then they will tell them where they think that they should spend eternity, and it's generally not heaven. But then you start getting closer to home, and you find that what they're actually asking is to redefine what good is. Jesus, when someone said to him, "Good master," he said, whoa, let's get something straight first. Why are you calling me good? It wasn't that he was denying that he was good, but Jesus said this: there is none good but God. There is only one name under heaven by which men must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. You and I do not get to heaven because we are good people. We get to heaven because we are sinners that a good shepherd laid down his life for, so that our sins could be forgiven and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he gives us peace. But for the wicked, there is no peace. There may be occasional lapses in conflict. There may be times where you feel good about yourself, but there is a spiritual war that is going on that Galatians 5 talks about, that the spirit and the flesh are warring against one another. And folks, we need to be reconciled to the Father. Good news. If we will allow him to change the way we think, the way that we live, he will cause us to live in supernatural divine peace. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."